Hi, and welcome to GoGoTraining.com. My name is Dave Cole, and in this show, we're going to discuss cooling high-density racks in the data center. To learn more about me, my background, the courses I offer, please be sure to check out my profile at GoGoTraining.com. Okay, let's get started. Let's start with the problem. Most data centers were designed to cool racks with average power requirements of 3 kilowatts or less. Today, data center racks could have 5, 8, 10, 15, 20 kilowatts of rack or more. So we're dealing with a lot higher density in these racks. And just to put this in perspective, an IBM H-class blade server uses 108,000 BTUs. Compare that to a Weber Genesis barbecue, which uses 26,000 BTUs, right? The barbecue is designed to cook meat. The H-class was designed to process data, but yet it uses up four times as much power, four times as much heat generated. So what do we do about this? How do we cool these high-density racks? Let's start with some of the cooling basics. First of all, do we have enough cooling for our total demand? We want to implement regular cooling preventative maintenance. So we want to do things like cleaning the coils, checking the airflow, calibrating our set points. We want to make sure that our cooling is operating at its optimum condition. We want to decommission any unused equipment. Dell estimates there are 10 to 15% of all the servers in a data center are not being used to actually do any processing. So if we can turn off these servers, we've reduced 10 to 15% of our cooling load, right? So we've made our job much easier if we can do that. Let's look at some of the other cooling best practices that we want to follow. We want to use hot aisle, cold aisle, right? So we want to avoid this mixing of hot air with the cold air. Inside of our rack, we want to use blanking panels. Just like the hot aisle and cold aisle, we want to reduce that mixing of hot air and cold air. We don't want any of that hot air coming out of the back of the rack to make its way through the rack and back to the front where it's going to be drawn into the server again. We want to implement rack cable management. A lot of times we can't do this because our racks are too shallow. So let's spend a little bit of extra money. Let's get a little bit bigger rack so we're able to implement rack cable management. Remember that air going through the server has to be able to get out the back. We can't do that if we have a bunch of cables in our way. We want to optimize our raised floor height in the data center. So 24 to 36 inches is what's recommended by ASHRAE, but we want to have at least 16 inches. Remember that our floor is a big balloon and we're filling it up with air. We want that balloon to be big enough to create a really good static pressure so that when the air comes out of our perforated tiles, it's going to cool our equipment. So how do we optimize our underfloor airflow? We want to organize our underflow obstructions. We want to minimize the number of cables and pipes that are under the floor. Let's talk about racks for a minute. Rack doors should have a minimum open perforation of 50%, with 65% even being preferable. Remember, we have to get that cold air into the rack and into our servers in order to have good cooling. Perforated tiles, if we're looking at a raised floor environment, we never want to put our perforated tiles in the hot aisle, right? We want to make sure that the hot aisle stays hot. That's the purpose of hot aisle, cold aisle. We want to segregate that air between the two. We only want to put in the number of perforated tiles necessary to cool the load, and we want to put them right next to the rack. I don't want to put a perforated tile 20 feet away from a rack. That's not the optimum way to cool. We want to use 25% open floor tiles for general use. This will give us 500 cubic feet per minute of air flowing through that tile. If we need higher density, maybe we need to go to a 56% or greater open floor tile. That's going to give us 2,000 cubic feet per minute of airflow, so four times the amount of airflow through there. We do have to remember, though, when we're looking at these greater open floor tiles, that they're going to scavenge air from other tiles. So I want to make sure that my greater open floor tile may take some cooling away from the adjacent racks. We want to manage our bypass airflow and short circuiting. As much as 50 to 80% of all of our cooling can be lost due to these two. Short cycling is when the cold air is returned to the cooling unit without cooling my IT load. This hurts us a couple of different ways. First of all, it allows us to mix the cold air back in with the hot air. That's going to make our crack unit operate less efficiently. The other reason it hurts us is my crack units worked really hard to create this cold air, and now we're not even going to use it. Bypass airflow is lost cooling due to misplaced or unsealed cable openings. So if I'm cutting holes in tiles for cables, and it turns out I don't need those anymore, I want to replace those with full tiles. And for those where I am running cables through, either communication or power, I want to seal those cables cutouts with grommets. So now we've covered all the basics of cooling. So let's look specifically, how are we going to address high density racks? So we want to use hot or cold aisle containment. That's one option that we could use. If we do cold aisle containment, the air in the cold aisle is contained. We're going to put doors at the end of that rack. We're going to put a roof over it. And we're going to contain that cold air to make sure that that cold air is only going to our equipment. Again, we're limiting the mixing of hot air and cold air. We could use hot aisle containment. And in this case, same as cold aisle containment, except now we're going to contain the air in the hot aisle. Now these hot aisles can get pretty hot, but again, we're avoiding this mixing of hot air and cold air. And that's really our goal. Gardner estimates that containment can reduce overall cooling costs by as much as 30%. And remember, in a lot of data centers, about half of our cost is going to cooling. So this is some significant savings. One thing we can do with high density racks is to spread those around the room. Now this is not the optimum design that we could use, but if we're in a pinch and that's all we've got, we have no alternatives, I at least want to spread those high density racks around the data center. I want to avoid putting them at the end of a row because that's where a lot of our mixing of hot air and cold air occurs. And I surely want to keep them out of the corners of a room because that's really going to cause me some air mixing problems. But rather than spreading these high density racks around the room, an alternative is to maybe create a high density zone. In a high density zone, we want to make sure that this zone is thermally neutral. So any heat created in that zone must be rejected to the outside. I don't want to influence the rest of my data center by having my high density zone create a lot of heat that's going to impact my other racks. So we want to keep these thermally neutral. There are three different methods that we can use for a high density zone. First, we have hot aisle containment. And remember, this is hot aisle containment, not cold aisle containment. We want to make sure we're containing the hot air so that it doesn't mix with the rest of the air in our data center. We can use rack containment, or we can also use an uncontained method. So let's look at each one of these. Hot aisle containment. Again, this must be hot aisle containment. I'm going to take a couple of rows of racks, put doors on the ends, put a roof over the top, and we're going to contain that hot air inside that zone so that it doesn't influence the rest of my data center. I can use rack containment. This is similar to hot aisle containment, except I'm containing at the rack level instead of the row level. So in this case, I have a special plenum that goes on the back of my rack, an extra door, if you will, that's going to trap that heat coming out of the rack and immediately take that away. Again, we're trying to avoid the mixing of hot air and cold air at the rack level. The least recommended of the three methods is uncontained. Now, I may need to do this if I've got racks from different vendors, or maybe if my racks are moving around quite a bit. So it makes it difficult in those situations to use a rack containment system. So what I'm going to do for an uncontained high density zone is to overcool that area. Now this is less energy efficient when I do that, but I want to make sure that my high density zone stays thermally neutral. So I'm going to overcool that area. So remember, when you want to cool high density racks, there are two steps we want to take. First, let's take care of our cooling basics and make sure that we've addressed everything in our regular cooling. And then we can look at implementing a high density zone. I hope you enjoyed today's presentation. If you'd like to learn more about this topic, you can go to my course, Data Center Infrastructure Management, on gogotraining.com to see the full course outline. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you at gogotraining.com.